Please.
I'd like to call the order of the Town of Brule regular meeting for Monday, August 10th, 2020. Mr. Andre, can you lead us in the pledge?
Yes, sir. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Councilmember Daigle.
Here.
Councilmember Bourgeois.
Here.
Councilmember Richard.
Here.
Councilmember Andre.
Here.
Councilmember Niesler.
Here.
Attorney Acosta.
Here.
Mayor Rhodes.
Here. First thing, I'd like to take care of some housekeeping. We omitted under Public Works to approve a change order for our road overlay and discuss striping. So if y'all don't mind, I'd like to have a motion to amend the agenda to add the road overlay change order and our striping discussion under Public Works.
So move.
A motion by Ms. Bourgeois. Second by Mr. Richard. Any comments from the audience? Comments from the council? Roll call, please.
Councilmember Daigle.
Yes.
Councilmember Bourgeois.
Yes.
Councilmember Richard.
Yes.
Councilmember Andre.
Yes.
Councilmember Niesler.
Yes.
All right, next up, recognitions and commendations. I'd like for everybody, if you don't mind, to stand for a moment of silence for the former mayor of Addis, Carol Bourgeois. He was a mayor in Addis for 32 years. Thank you. All right, in our package, we have your minutes for a regular meeting of July 13th, 2020. I think they were okay. I don't have any changes that I'm aware of. Do you have a motion to accept the minutes?
Move.
Moved by Mr. Andre. Second by Mr. Richard. Any comments from the audience? Comments from the council? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it. Public Works Department report for July. We had total rainfall. We had 6 rain events for 7.1 inches. On July 27th, we had 4.7 inches in 2 hours. We had our typical hot spots, but everything drained quickly once the rain stopped. We coated 15 manholes around town with the LGAP grant money. Street overlay is completed. 2 skate alarms at different locations, both were minor. We had submersible pump issues on Oak Shadow and South LeBove lift stations. They've been resolved. 2 out of compliance tests on a sewer treatment facility, and we are still having some chlorine issues. They're working on that right now, so they were there all day today. All tests for DEQ renewal, the LPDES permit, has been sent in. No personnel incidents. Roadside debris should be this week, August 10th, all week, and our extra monthly pickup is scheduled for August 28th. Yeah, that's true. We hired a temp worker, and he's helping out with grass cutting, weed eating. It was budgeted, so we do that every summer around July and August to help catch up with the grass. So he's out there working with the guys. He's doing a really good job. We had one that didn't work out. This second guy's working out really well. So. Yeah, temp agency, right. So, I mean, we just pay them. They bill us and we pay them. There's no benefits or anything that goes with it. So
people in the community.
Yeah, they'll see a different person.
Can I talk about what
was on? Yeah, I can. If you look to, Roy provided us some drainage information right after the Public Works report. What we had was a 25-year storm, according to this little graph that he gave us, which is what the town is designed to handle. Anything over and above that, it gets a little bit out of hand. So on the end of Venzul, where Todd LeRae lives, we have a problem behind the houses that are on the south side of Venzul. And we're trying to divert that water back to the ditch that's on the north side of Venzul. And trying to see about changing the direction of that ditch. Instead of it running east, we want to flip it to change it to run it west and then cross the cane field and run into the Tonton and the cane field. So we have our engineers looking at that piece. The only problem with that is it requires us to cross property. We'll have to get, rights to cross the property and put some underground culvert's there. So that's what we're looking at for that piece of property, that problem area, the hot spot behind those houses on the south side of Enzul. Maybe bring that, but we don't want to bring that water across and then run it behind all the houses on the other side, on the north side of Enzul. So we want to run it away from the homes if we can. So in essence, we want to take that ditch right at the end of Enzul and make that the middle of the ditch. So some of the ditch drains back toward the Tonton, and the rest of it drains back and goes to the Tonton. So Roy's given us that information. Hopefully we'll have it this week to see if it's worthwhile us doing. We'll proceed, see if we can get rights to cross that piece of property. So we think that piece of property might be acting as a, you know, like a levee or something to keep the water.
I have a concern about that. They have a problem.
Yes, that the water got close on Venzu on a couple homes in the back. So that's our plan of attack on that. Shane and I came up with that, and we have Roy working on it. So hopefully we can get some action on it, and it'll help us. All right, so now we'll move to our road overlay change order. I emailed everyone on what Tate Acosta sent us on where they used the extra tonnage of asphalt. So we just need the council to approve the additional $21,856.92, which was the additional change order. Roy approved the change order, and the emails I sent you guys showed the streets. I think we had one patch that wasn't on the bid that we decided to patch, and then some other ones, as they dug deeper, they had some issues. So do I have a motion to...
I so move.
All right, motion by Ms. Bourgeois to approve the change order of $21,586.92. Have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Daigle. Any comments from the audience? Comments from the council? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it. Next up, striping. We talked last week about striping Live Oak and Eileen Street. I got a price from the same company that did our R.J. Daigle and Sons, that did our overlay. The equipment's in town, so there won't be any mobility to get the equipment there. And he said he can do those two streets for less than $8,500. So if we want to move forward with the striping, he can start this week because the equipment's here, and it would be less than $8,500. So
cost you almost that to mobilize.
Yeah, to mobilize, and since the equipment's doing some work on it, they might be doing it at some of the schools, I think.
And they're not on the list to be overlaid in the next year, so we're not going to spend money on something we're going to cover up.
Right, we're not going to overlay. They're not on the list for Eileen and Live Oak next overlay. So we can move forward with that if you guys want to go ahead and we're going to pull the money out of that our road overlay project, the $100,000 we have in there. We'll pull that $85,000 out of that. So we need to vote on that, Tom?
I move.
All right, got a motion by Mr. Andre, a second by Mr. Richard. Any comments from the audience? Any comments from the council? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it. All right, planning and zoning, consider variance request, Herbert Dugan, 341 Willow Oak Drive, section 19.31.1, zoning district R1, side setback to reduce the side setback from 10 feet to 2 feet to build an accessory structure. If you look on the map, you'll see what he's trying to do is accessory structure. That structure is going to be 2 feet from the property line. Planning and zoning approved it, and as Terry requested, we got a letter from the neighbor that said they didn't have a problem with that house being that close to the property line. So we discussed some issues last week about if that changes hands and they want to build something, they'd have to come to planning and zoning. And probably wouldn't get the 2 feet because it would be too close if they got 2 feet. So anyway, Herbie, is that everything?
The letter he gave us, you say you have a signed one.
I will make sure they have one. I can't verify that right now. So, do you know if she signed the letter, the one that you sent in with your permit application?
I believe she did,
yeah.
I
could have signed. Yeah, just to have on yeah. File in case somebody questions.
Yeah. We'll make sure we get that.
So, just one comment, Mayor. Herbie, on that particular structure, the closest point to the 2 foot setback, is that going to be your eave of the home or the side building? It'll be the eave of the home. Okay.
All right. Anybody have any other questions? Okay, do I have a motion to consider that variance request for Herbert Dugan to a side setback from 10 feet to 2 feet to build an accessory structure?
I move.
Motion by Mr. Andre, second by Mr. Richard. Any comments from the audience? Comments from the council? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it. Thank you, Mr. Irby. Consider final plat showing survey and three minor subdivisions of OD-2 of the partition of the Adonis Thibodeau Heirs property for Oscar Denham. Court, you want to come give us a quick?
All right. This is our last hurrah on this one, and then we'll be done. And this will take care of all the remaining part of Brian's property. So what we're doing is the 2 years you're going to add, they had added, we had already gotten this approved, they had stopped right here, and we're going to add a little bit more to their lots, to this piece. Then what we're going to do is this piece back here is going to get added to this lot. This is the LeRae piece or LeRae?
That's LeFou.
Okay. And then this is LeRae right here. So then we'll add the rest of it. This had been approved on the first one we did when we originally broke the lots up. So this is Oscar's house, and this is where he's stopping. So this takes care of the rest of his property that's all been sold now. Everything from his 2+ acres that he's keeping, everything else is sold. So he's going to stay right here up in the front, and then everything else will get added. So once again, this tract's getting added to these lots here. This piece will get added here, and then the 2 days are going to add a little bit more.
All right, there was we discussed this. I don't know if Shane, anybody told you this. We discussed this last week. In the notes, it said, God, I'm having trouble reading it.
It's under subdivision notes, the second paragraph at the very end there. It says, all infrastructure improvements must be designed, constructed, inspected, and maintained according to standards listed in the Town of Brule ordinances. Then you've got some additional languages, but I think the council would like that sentence to stop
right
at
there.
Ordinances.
Okay. You have
the
listed.
The additional language says, or as otherwise negotiated with town officials.
Okay.
And that.
Come take that off? That's
yes.
I think.
What we're trying to do also is the access to these property, those roads that we own. When someone buys that, they need to know that if they're going to use that road, it needs to be built to our standards, and it's not going to change.
Right.
We're not going to make a variance. That road is going to be built.
The mayor's saying, stating that.
Okay, well, we just want to make sure that's taken out because it's not negotiable.
Okay. Yep, that's easy.
So you can give us a new map on that?
Oh, yeah. That's easy.
All right, any other questions? Buddy? All right, so do I have a motion to consider the final plat to survey the three minor subdivisions of OD-2, a partition of the Adonis Thibodeau Heirs property for Oscar Denham, removing or as otherwise negotiated with town officials from the map? I'm not sure. Willie, do you know which one it is?
Yeah, he's two houses over from my house. That ditch that grows across Oscar Denham's property has been there for 40 years, and all of the north side of Live Oak drains onto Oscar Denham's property into that ditch. So it has nothing to do with y'all voting on this. It's a concern of ours.
I gotcha.
Are we ignoring it to where they can fill it up?
I don't know if that's ours, if there's a servitude there. Do you know if it's servitude? Of course not. I mean, that's not what we want to do by any stretch. We want to keep it open.
Where is that ditch at?
I'm not sure. Mr. Don, can you point it up?
I'm at 2614 on the north side.
Is that a four to the back?
Yeah.
It's the middle.
It's the middle.
It's
so
the middle.
On the last map that we did.
We put that in there.
That's right.
That you cannot do anything in those ditches.
That's right.
Without coming to the town first.
I showed it on the map.
That's right.
Ditch and
Denham and Beezer.
It drains?
Yes. Yes.
That ditch we're talking
about. Or any ditch that crosses that property.
There was two, and I'm just going to point, like, there was two ditches that ran this way.
Right.
One was subsurface and one was not. We came back and added it to the ditch, and then we put the note that you couldn't fill them in without talking to the town.
Yeah, you had to come to the town before you did any work on those pieces of property.
Thank you very much.
Yep. That's on that map.
Yeah.
But that was the previous, that was a previous map.
It's not here.
Yeah.
I didn't see the map.
Thank you, Don.
Okay, do I have a motion with the changes on the map?
Move.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Daigle, second by Mr. Niesler. Any comments from the audience? Comments from the council? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it. All right, Finance Committee, review budget to actual. It's in your package. It's very early in the budget year, and we're just starting to get stuff moving, so if you have any questions, get with us. We can answer them for you. All right, consider liquor license for Back Brewery Grocery Oaks, LLC. As you can tell, the name of that store has changed. It's not Back Brewery Grocery. It's going to be Back Brewery Grocery Oaks, LLC.
New owner?
Richard Lejeune.
He's
leasing.
I don't know that the name of the store has changed.
Yes.
Business name.
The name of the entity that runs it has changed.
Right, yeah. That's what I meant.
So he's still.
And we got all the clearances from the state and local.
Right, okay, so we're clear on that, so as far as taxes go.
So
we need to just approve it because he's going to start selling liquor there again. All right, do I have a motion to approve the liquor license for Back Brewery Grocery Oaks, LLC?
I move.
Moved by Mr. Daigle, second by Mr. Richard. Any comments from the audience? Comments from the council? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it. Personnel Committee, don't have anything. Recreation Committee, presentation from West Baton Rouge Parish Council, Mr. Anatol Vinson and Jason Manola. Y'all want to go to the mic over there?
Mr. Anatol, thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
That was my fault. I'm sorry, Rez.
All right. Take my mask off. Thank you guys for having us today. First, congratulations, Mayor, on another 4 years. Congratulations on that. You, Councilman, seeking another term. Good luck. And those who are riding off in the sunset, we appreciate your time with us. We came today, everybody knows, well, we're trying to get the word out to everyone to know that our community center tax renewal is up for a vote this Saturday. It's been early. You could early vote the last couple weeks, but the election or the voting day is Saturday. We went to Town of Addis last week. A lot of times we see the same faces, and I feel like I'm preaching to the choir on this. But we're coming to ask you guys or to educate you guys on exactly what our millage is, and hopefully you guys can do the same thing with your constituents and the citizens of the community. Of course, I brought Jason. Everyone knows it. And those of you who don't know me, I'm Anatol Vincent, Parks and Recreation Director, West Baton Rouge Parish. My boss, Jason Manola, who's the Executive Assistant. We got a few slides in here. Jason's going to say a few things. I'm going to say a few things. He's going to probably make a joke that whenever I assigned the who was saying what, he got more assigned than I did. So
how it works out. Yeah, just to kind of give you a brief history for anybody that's not aware of community centers. The community center millage has been in West Baton Rouge Parish since 1934, and that was back when we had the one community center in Port Allen. Through the years, we've expanded the number of community centers throughout the parish. In 1981, it was approved at 2.24 mills, but in 2001 the voters passed it to 3 mills. So 2001 it was renewed again in 2010 for 3 mills, and again, as you guys know, any type of millage like that, it's a 10-year renewal, so we got to come back before the voters as a renewal for the 3 mills that we had. You're gonna hear me say renewal several times because again, this is not a new tax. Everybody is currently paying for the tax right now. This is a renewal. You heard me talk about 1935. In 1934, we only had the one center. If you look, right now we have multiple centers. You have the Port Allen Community Center, Williams and Lee Community Center, Irwinville Community Center, Addis Community Center, the VFW Hall in Addis, and the Post 167 American Legion Hall, which was just recently donated to us, that we have included as part of our centers.
And the Brule Senior.
And actually, the Brule Senior Center is another one that we have here in the parish, which I'm sure you guys know gets used pretty often by some of those folks. Again, this is a 10-year renewal. As far as the timing of the election, just to kind of let you guys know, we had originally scheduled to have this early on in the year, around the March time frame, but with COVID, they canceled those elections, so we had to push it back. This was the next available time slot for us to actually put it before the voters.
Yeah, you know, just talking about an affordable option, just about everyone in this room I know, and I've seen you at one function or another at one of our community centers. I feel like they're second to none. And then just the price that we're able to offer our public is second to none. And I'll get a little bit later, I'll go over a few things on how much use they actually get. But it's not just the rentals as far as weddings and birthdays and family reunions and those type of things, but all of the nonprofit organizations that use them to raise money for all of the great things that go on in this parish. Just meetings, general meetings, the town of Addis, or you guys, if there's ever something that you guys are going to host where other municipalities come in, we make that accessible to all of our local groups, no charge. You know, one thing that we've pride ourselves on over 15 years I've been here, and it was done before, is these centers, along with our parks, are places of employment for retired citizens in our community. And you know, I've become very close with a lot of workers who have came through, and some who have left us. But the pride that those people take in being able to go work at these facilities and having a job at their age is something that I hold very dearly. And you know, that having this millage in place to be able to have such great places and provide employment for those people. You know, one of the things that scares us is if for some reason that we lose this millage, we're not gonna get rid of our community centers, but our community centers are going to take a hit, and we're gonna have to use general fund money to be able to just kind of keep them to where they are. I don't think we'll ever be able to keep them to the standard that they are without the millage. But when we start dipping into general fund money, you're talking about roads, you're talking about drainage, you're talking about other areas that are using general fund money to keep up, that we're going to have to go into that just to be able to keep our centers the way they are.
The other piece of this is our community centers are our evacuation shelters throughout the parish, and we consider them what they call shelters of last resort. In other words, if some of you are back in the Katrina, remember the Katrina days and stuff like that, they were Red Cross run shelters. Now we, as a parish, Anatole and his crew, we run our own shelters. They are shelters of last resort. In other words, we want folks in our community to use our shelters, and we want to get them back into their homes as quick as possible, safely as possible, versus it being a long term. They're not set up to be a long term type shelter situation. All right, y'all got to bear with me. The accounting name is going to come out now for a slide. So anyhow. The 2020 budget revenue for our community centers is $1.67 million. Of that $1.67, $1.33 million is generated from the three mills. The remainder of that $1.67 is generated through fees that we charge through our community centers, certain things like that. If you look at our total operating expenditures that we budget for 2020, it's $1.294 million. So like what Anatole was talking about earlier, just our operating, that's no capital improvements or anything else, just to operate the centers, it costs us $1.294 million, and we generate $1.33 million under the ad valorem tax. So just shows you how vital this tax is, because we don't want to have to, it'd be some tough decisions made if we're going to take general funds and spend on our community centers when you got drainage and roads and everything else going on throughout the parish. So he's right, there's no way to keep our centers at the level of service that our taxpayers expect or have been expected throughout the years without this millage. This last piece is a lot that not a lot of people are familiar with, but 85% of the tax mill we get for our community centers comes from business and industry. Only the remaining 50%, which is about $246,000, comes from individuals. So I see a lot of you working industry up here. That's the large, it's two largest taxpayers represented at that table, I think, right there. So we appreciate that. Now, this is the side everybody really wants to know. Probably people went straight to this side. How much does it cost a homeowner to pay for this tax? If you have a home assessed at $100,000, you only pay $7.50 per year. Now, again, that's because you've got the $75,000 homestead exemption. So you're only paying tax basically on $25,000. You get into $200,000, it costs assessed value of your property is $37.50. All the way up to $300,000 assessed value, you pay $67.50 per year for the community center, three bill tax.
This slide's pretty impressive, I'd say. Just look on the use of our centers on a calendar year. You know, of course, Port Allen Community Center is where we do our day-to-day business. There's several programs that go on in there, so its numbers are sky high. Of course, everybody knows weddings and those sorts of things. Everybody wants to be in the Addis Community Center. But just on the whole, all of our centers, the amount of use that we get on a day-to-day basis in these facilities, and for them to be able to stay the way they are, we couldn't do it without this tax millage. I mean, there are some surrounding parishes, and I don't want to pick on anybody, but you know, you can go to some of those places, and we've been in them, and they haven't changed in 30 years. All right, one thing that we pride ourselves on is always trying to give something a little more update, keep fresh, and give something to the people that they can be proud of. And we feel like these numbers show that. People want to be in our facilities, they want to use them, they're proud of them. And of course, the rates are you know, at a good rate. So, you know, it's just, like I said, we feel like we're coming preach to the choir on this. The election's Saturday. Can't legally come in here and say, please vote yes. All we can do is educate. But if you can pass the word and educate the best you can, because this is the only thing on the ballot. It's the only thing out there. And this was not, like Jason said earlier, this was not supposed to be the date. We had a date earlier in the year with COVID and everything else. I know as of today, as of through the weekend, I think there was 310 voters so far through early voting that actually voted for this. So that means that if, you know, it only takes a handful of the naysayers to go out and shut something like this down. And it would be detrimental to what we do on a day-to-day basis. So if you can, just pass the word and educate on, I mean, the proof's in the pudding. I always tell that to our workers. Don't worry, you'll hear back from whoever on if it ain't right. And I feel like you look at it right there. We've got something to be proud of, but if we don't get this tax from we're going to have to figure out some other things.
All right, thank y'all giving us the opportunity to come.
I just want to add, y'all use it for library programs, and you use it for the kindergarten with Safety Town, so it benefits so much that people don't even know about.
Right. And you have different meetings. Senior Center uses for different type meetings that you have, right. Different organizations, along with the folks that go enjoy it a couple times a week. So appreciate y'all.
Appreciate y'all. Let y'all service.
Thank y'all. I'll encourage everybody to get out and vote Saturday. You know, we have 26,000 or so people in our parish and only 300 so far, and we don't want 300 to be our voice, so let's get out and vote Saturday.
It's the right 300.
Yeah, it's the right 300, right? So let's get out and vote Saturday. Those places are really nice. And to quote Anatol, not to badmouth anybody, but we got some of the best in the area. We really do. Thank y'all for your hard work on that. Next up, River Road Park update. I met with Mr. Tipton. If you look at what you have in your package, we discussed a few things. He came up with three different phases. He's going back to work. He's going to do a complete plan for the build out for the whole park. He said he should have that by next week with colors and the look of the building and everything. So hopefully we'll have that by next month. And we'll be able to go over that and determine what phases we want to go in. His shoot from the hip number, which was not, it was very conservative and was not accurate, if you will. But the reason he came up with the three phases was because it was so pricey. So just looking at it, just what he gave us, phase one, he suggested we do the triangle and parking and the restrooms and no pavilion, and then phase two, you do the pavilion in the middle section. You can read that. I don't have to go through it. The survey's started. Court Bradford actually is doing a survey on that property, and he's got all the specs on what the survey needs to do. So once that gets back to Tipton, they'll draw it up, and hopefully next month, we'll have a presentation, and we can determine how we want to go about continuing with the phases of it. So that's just a little short update on that.
Where do we stand on a triangle acquisition?
Tom, we're still hung up?
Yeah, we're still hung up. They finally cashed my check. They hung on to it for 5 weeks. They cashed it, but I still ain't got my papers. So I'm going to call them tomorrow and see what the hell's going on.
Is that the heirs?
The triangle, yeah. The
500
and
heirs.
Even if I got the papers tomorrow, I mean, you're probably looking at least a couple, 3 months, and that's assuming I get everybody's signature.
How can we make it faster?
We can't. We really can't. I mean, I know he put a phase one on that piece. That's not realistic.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's disappointing.
Okay.
All right. Maybe we need to do something else. I don't know. The expropriation is not faster?
I'll say expropriation.
You got to get the same information. And it's not going to be faster. If it was up to me, I'd tell you to do 2 and 3 first, and then we'll take advantage of that time to get the rest of this done.
We'll see what the price comes back at and what he suggests. And the parking in the bathrooms were first because that's kind of what people could use, you know. They could park because there's people out there parking all over the place. And the bathrooms would be there for people to use, too. And then we could gradually work in. That's the only reason he said that first piece. So, all right, we'll stay on top of that and see if we can make that happen quick. Police committee? Nothing. Governmental Affairs Committee, consider landmark site and plaque applications for July meeting. From the July meeting, I mean.
Over here, rerun. And Jason, I'm glad you stayed because we have one of interest. Okay? First home Charlie Marino, north of Bow. Now owned by Brian Parson. Home was built in 1955 and basically nothing changed. And before that, Mr. Charlie and Ms. Hazel lived across the street with Hazel's parents. And her grandfather was Joe LeBove, after whom LeBove Avenue is named. But anyway, Mr. Charlie was elected to the West Baton Rouge Parish School Board around 1958, and he served for at least 30 years. And one of the main things that we always remember about him is that he kept Brule schools from being consolidated with Port Allen. He and Mr. Lester Touillet went house to house when the school board wanted to consolidate in the late 50s. So what we have now in Brule, we're thankful that he worked so hard for that. Also, I forgot to mention last week, Mr. Charlie at one time owned a movie theater on West Main Street, kind of where Miss Hazel Thibodeau's house is. It was short-lived, but it was an attraction there, form of entertainment. So that's one of the houses that the Landmark Commission recommended. The other one, 422 Lake Drive, where Scott's parents built this house. Pam Carol Rose built this house in 1968, raised their children. It's had some additions, some changes, but basically from the front looks the same as that little landscaping front. And what's historically significant is that Cheryl Rose was elected to the Brule Town Council in 1984, 1988, and 1992, served all those years. And Scott was elected to the council in 1996 and 2012, elected mayor in 2016 and 2020, mayor-elect. So that house is historically and that's one of the second generation houses.
The second generation. Got our first second generation elected official.
Of 50 like years, me. Yeah. It's not 150 years, it's 50 years. So that's why second generation. Yours, if yours stays there long enough and somebody in 50 years can So those are the two for the landmark plaques, if y'all want to vote on those, because the other one is a former landmark site.
All right.
So I want to recommend, and I want to make the motion that we award landmark plaques to those.
Okay, we got a motion by Ms. Bourgeois, and a second by Mr. Andre. Any comments from the audience? Any comments from the council? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it.
Thank you. All right, the next property, what do we have, Blaine? Oh, that's my cheat note, so I got it. We have one. The Heck family, okay. That part that you see up there on that map is part of this big map from 1932 when the levee reinforcement project that took property from people. So we're looking at, let me see what this looks, I can't do this through the plexiglass.
It'll work.
All right, okay, we're looking at this little, the corner of St. Francis Street and the River Road, and we're looking at a little narrow strip that says the words Henry Heck, okay? The first Heck, Jean-Pierre Baptiste Heck, came from Europe. He was born in 1850. He came and he married into a family that owned all that property. And he died in 1851, only left one son. So all the people in the Heck family, many, many descendants, came from that one son. They all had big families. But anyway, what that's showing is where the present River Road is now, and then how
right.
much...
Is this the River Road?
That's the River Road right now. And then all that land underneath lost to the levee. They had two big houses. They had all kind of outbuildings. They had a sawmill.
All this right here?
Yeah. They had a sawmill, a cotton gin, and a blacksmith shop. And the last two blacksmiths were Henry and Andrew or Andre Heck. Andre died in 1928, and then with the levee project, Henry moved his family to Port Allen. But we've heard from stories, oral interviews, about the blacksmith shop. And it was a family concern, a family operation, but people in the community used it also. So it was prominent in the history of our community. And for most of the 1900s, that street that we call St. Francis today was called Heck's Lane. And it was just a gravel farm road. It probably went to the woods, separated first by the railroad in 1800. Yes, sir.
Is Debbie still called the Heck
Lane? I know. Also, talking about Miss Betty, the Hecks at one time purchased some land from that Saradet strip. You see where it said J.A. Saradet next to the church? That's where Betty Kane's house is today, the Saradet. But at some point, looking through the books in the courthouse, we found they purchased land, so they put their outbuilding. So we found out, basically, that where the blacksmith shop was located is where Wesley Saradet's house is today. Because that would have been the westernmost part of the property. So we put a former landmark sign. It's going to look similar to this, nice little black post, and it's going to have information about the family and the property. That's what it's going to look like. We'll put it close to his driveway. So, Blaine, you have some pictures of the iron crosses. Oh, that's the property. That's what the, I don't know if it was the Army Corps of Engineers or the state paid different people for the amount of property that they took when building the levee. Tom, who paid that out of it? State that they didn't
sure
get much.
It probably wasn't the state.
So these iron crosses in our cemetery today were made by the blacksmiths, by the Heck men and the blacksmith shop. They have older ones that are not as ornate. So this just shows the property today. You want to point to the west? Yeah, right behind where that apartment is on the corner. So we'll put the sign Wesley shop. That's the former landmark site for this time. So I'll make the motion that we award a former landmark site sign to that property.
All right, we've got a motion by Ms. Bourgeois. Have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Niesler. Any comments from the audience? Any more comments from the council? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it. Thank you, Ms. Bourgeois. Consideration of vetoed ordinances. I don't have any. Hearing and final action. We don't have any. Introduction. I'm not aware of any. Resolutions. We don't have any. Police Department report. Mr. Sothorn.
Good evening. For the month of July, we had 7 alarm calls, 4 suspicious persons, 3 warrant arrests, 5 unlocks, 12 miscellaneous complaints, 10 disturbances, 1 unauthorized use of a movable, 9 no insurance tows, 7 crash reports, 2 hit and runs, 4 drug arrests, 1 illegal use of a weapon, 1 improper telephone communications, 8 thefts, 1 possession of stolen property, 1 medical call, 5 public assists, and 1 animal at large for 82 total complaints with 320 total citations written for a total of 402 total violations. Just another interesting fact, I'll let the mayor know today, we got a hit back on a burglary case from March 19th of 1982, which has now been solved.
Oh, good.
You said 1982?
Yeah. 8 months older than
I am. The cold case, I was frozen.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you. All right. Mayor's report, real quick. We discussed that air conditioned bill. That air conditioned bill was for our main office in the town hall, the main air conditioned. So I just want to make sure y'all were aware with that one. I think I emailed everybody about that bill, so I just want to make the public aware. School started. Be aware of school zones, traffic. It worked out really good today. We'll see what happens tomorrow and Wednesday when they all go back. There's some kids that are virtual, so that helps a little bit with traffic. Yeah. The audit process is gone, and make sure you sign those letters. I know I got one tonight and mailed them back to the auditor. We were doing a few things in the town hall for the audit. I attended the naming of the basketball court for Walt Lemoyne. They named the court after him. It was a nice little ceremony they had, and I think Walt was totally surprised. And if you get a chance to go tour the school, go take a look. It's fantastic.
Hard to get him, but I talked to him the other day, he said they got me.
Yeah, yeah.
Hard to get.
So, and that's it with my mayor's report. All right, next up, remarks of personal privilege. Tommy, you want to go? You have to say anything? Or?
Well,
you don't have to.
You know, I want to apologize for this meeting last week. I had a work assignment that carried me longer than I expected to be. So, I appreciate y'all. If we can reschedule and put it on the agenda.
Okay.
And just this, I saw this article and I thought it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just this is about the firework incident that we had. So, in 4th of July fireworks. So, we'll get a copy of this and I'll give it to all the council members, and then we'll get you on agenda for next month, if you want, and we'll go from there. Blaine, can you make copies and put one for me too?
Put one for police.
Yeah, police department also.
One more question. You said about school zones, and I'm not real. But is
school zone
time the same, or is there multiple bus routes now?
2 to 4.
Okay, because my understanding was some of us get to go on half a day, but I thought it's not a staggered schedule.
No, okay. School zones are 2 to 4, Tom, right?
7 to 9.
Yeah, 2 to 4 in the afternoon, okay, 7 to 9. Yep.
I heard something about a half day schedule.
Yeah, what are they doing half days right now? Just in orientation stuff. So.
Two half, like half, at times and places they're doing it, they take.
Oh yeah.
Half the class at half the morning period.
Right.
A separate class in the afternoon.
Afternoon, like COVID stuff. Yeah.
And we're actually doing like the 7 through 12. They're doing 2 days a week, but they go on 2 full days a week.
Yeah.
Stack.
Okay.
One other thing, Scott, just to. On the Blackford Street, I noticed the buses have to go north of the road, make a turn, and I don't know if that's the parish or the town or the street, but I would suggest that we put a stop sign maybe like 40 feet back and say stop here when buses are running. You can see the road.
You're talking about coming out on Blanchard onto the river road?
If there's a car sitting at the stop sign, he's got to run into the property to the 2L.
Yeah.
And that gets carried away.
I know we overlaid and we tried to overlay a little bit to the, to that corner.
I'm just saying, if you put a stop sign 40 to 60 feet back and say, please stop here when buses are
turning in, yeah, it'll help that corner.
You can see from there.
Yeah.
Whether you can make it on
right, the road. I got you.
A lot of visibility there.
Yeah. You got some time?
We're working on implementing a new plan where all the carpool cars will go to the southmost exit and exit only south to prevent there being any clogging for the buses.
So the buses will turn different, okay. Well, if they don't, we'll look at putting that stop sign further back if it doesn't change that.
Is that a town thing?
Yes.
Should that really be the school board? Is that school board property?
No. Well, but it's our street.
Oh, it's our street?
Yeah, okay. It's our street.
We actually have a site.
Yeah, we're just out there trying to figure that one out.
Yeah, we talked about it a while back. All right, anybody else? Yeah, you want to come on up? Just state your name and address and
okay.
Your concern.
My name is Holly Beard. My address is 621 Benzel Drive. As some of y'all know, we flooded back in January with sewage. So I'd just like to know if there was anything you plan on doing to help us after the sewage backup. You told me in the first meeting that you were going to do everything you could to help us. It doesn't seem like you're following through with your promise. In your paper to the insurance, you admitted in there that you were not sure if it was a town problem or not, but there was in fact a town problem. Shane even made the comment to several people on site that he saw that there was a problem and he stated this is a town problem. He said this to four different people that were there. So if he thought it was a town problem, then why all of a sudden is he changing his outlook on things? Better yet, the town has been called out on three occasions within the past 5 years about a sinkhole that was in my neighbor's yard. The town could never figure out what the problem was, so it was just basically covered up. Here we are 5 years later, and we are the ones with the most damage because of the problem that could have been fixed. You told us to file with the town's insurance because that is what they are here for, yet the insurance denied us stating that there was not a previous problem. But the fact is that there was a previous problem on three different occasions. In fact, the company that was hired to come out was heard to say that everything was shifted to the side, so how is it expected for our drainage to even drain if everything was shifted to the side? And furthermore, an 8-inch pipe was broken during our last meeting, y'all stated that an 8-inch pipe was not replaced, but you handed us a bill showing us that an 8-inch pipe was replaced. So as a town, I was just wondering if there was anything y'all could do to assist us.
I can probably answer most of those questions. And just a quick synopsis of what happened. There was a sinkhole in their yard for probably longer than 5 years. I don't know, it goes back a long time. As we would dig in the sinkhole, when I say we, the town itself, they couldn't get to the sewer line, supposedly where their two sewers tapped in. So we just like we do with most drainage problems, we assumed it was a drainage problem, maybe a culvert or something, and it might be leaking. So they just packed it with limestone, sand over the years. I think Shane did it one time, maybe twice, I'm not sure, in his tenure here. In the meantime, there was a sewer backup. The only way we could get to it was to contract out, so we had a company come out and dig it up. And they dug it up and found out that the sewer stack that goes into our line was cracked, and their two lines come into the top of the stack. So we assumed that all that washout was going through that crack, and that's where the washout was. We didn't have the equipment because they had to shore up the sides of it to dig it, so we had a company come out and dig it. As the guy was wiggling the pipe to get it out, the stack to get it out of our line, he cracked our main. He tried to charge us for that crack, and they repaired it. They reduced the amount of the bill because the crack in the main was not there that we're aware of. It was in the stack up at the top. We sent all that to the insurance company and we made that claim, and the insurance company denied their claim out. Have you heard from them after the second time? They denied you the second time?
He said he didn't want to hear it. He said he had already talked to you and told you that there was nothing else that
he needed for us. Yeah, I talked to him one time before we met the last time, and I haven't talked to him since. I left him two messages, and he's never called me back, but I have not talked to him since y'all talked to him the last time, so...
He made it pretty evident. He was pretty evident that they were not entertained even coming to look at it.
Yeah.
Who is that?
It's through RMI, through our insurance company at LMA. So that's where we stand. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, a couple months ago, I had given everybody a picture of the stack, where the crack was, when this first happened. How long has it been? 3 months?
Yes, Mark Luther King's
birthday. Okay.
So the company that came to repair the stack actually broke the bottom.
No.
That was his application.
Well, that's what the company told us, and I wasn't there. Shane was there. I think you guys were there. What they told us, because the guy, he said when he was trying to pull it out that he cracked the 8-inch line, which is our line.
They cut the stack, right? They cut us loose, Tommy and my property. They cut it loose, so you had the stack was still connected, so they cut it. So they got the Y off, laying off to the side. And he's looking down inside the pipe. He said it's offset. So they stick in a probe through there, and you could hear it going through sand. And then finally he busted through. So when you go all the way down, you got a fitting that comes off at an 8-inch. And the fitting was broke now. It plainly said, you know, that it was off to the side. And of course, we know gas ain't going, so.
Yeah.
It was coming from somewhere.
The main problem is?
The damage from the sewer backup.
That our house got so much in sewage that we had over $50,000 worth of damage to our home.
It's,
I didn't know.
We talked to a couple of people, but the water table, of course, if you look at a couple of the pictures there, there in that ditch is full of water. So.
Yeah, I didn't know if it... complicated when we have the heavy rain. Does that affect everything too?
The ditch didn't have water in it, and the river was out of power too.
Yeah, at the time.
So what can we do?
Well, I mean, you know, I look at it like a car accident, and my first impression was to go to the insurance company. So the insurance company, because that's what we have it for. I mean, you quoted me, and I still believe that. And the insurance company denied the claim. We sent them the information we had. I haven't seen your video. Did you show them the video at the insurance company?
I didn't see it.
So, I mean, we're in the, you know.
They denied us, though, because they said there wasn't a previous problem, but there was, because you had a sinkhole that the town was called on three separate occasions. I know it's far back since 2015.
Yeah, and the picture that Shane drew showed the crack right at the stack coming in. And, you know, the bottom line is, if the town's responsible and the insurance company pays them, then, you know, they make a claim with the insurance company. I don't know if it's black and white, Tom. Is there any case anywhere that says where the town's responsible and where we're not? And, I mean, I'm not an insurance adjuster, so I don't know. You know, that's why I just dumped it to the insurance company. I mean, like I told you guys, I'm on your side. I want you to get made whole. I really do. I just... Unless you guys can give me some guidance on what we can do as a town to help them out.
Obviously, we want to help them as much as we can.
Sure.
From a legal standpoint. But, I mean, our problem, we need to fix it, make it good.
Well, the problem's fixed, okay? But it's the damage to the house that's the issue.
Did they reimburse what
they've spent? Like I said, I mean, if you guys want to start looking at...
My question is, why would the insurance company?
The reasoning they gave us was because there was not a previous problem. And
you're saying there was?
Yeah.
But there was.
So do we have record?
They have documentation?
Absolutely. I've told them that we had sinkhole. And I've told them.
That was the reason. The previous knowledge. So he's still going on that. He said, you know, that weekend or something. Nobody was called out there, and I guess that's what they're looking at.
Yeah, well,
and we started having problems. We called Bruley, the town of Bruley, for them to come work on it. Then we backed up. Then it's cut and dry. The insurance will pay it.
I want the insurance to pay it. I mean, I wish I could tell them to pay it, but I don't think I have that right or authority to tell them to do it. I mean, it goes back. This goes back. I talked to Joey this past weekend. I talked to Wayne Delapas, and I talked to Curtis this past weekend. They've all been there. I guess the determination by the insurance company is it a town's problem or is it the resident's problem on the connection? And where does it fall?
Did the documentations about the sinkhole, but supposedly they never kept records of it?
Yeah, we don't. I mean,
that's what we tried to do so we could show your insurance company and say, hey, look, there was a previous problem.
Yeah.
It all happened in between your clean out between my house and clean out between Pat's house. Everything was right there.
Tell me, where's your house?
64, right across the street.
It's right across the street.
Their houses face each other, and they both tap into the sewer line on the one stack. So.
When they did the sewer jet, and the water come blasting up from the bottom of the ditch, I told Shane, you know, there's two problems today.
Yeah.
And so to me, if that would have been in his report, then maybe the insurance company may would have, you know,
he even made the comment, though, to different people that were out there that this is a town problem.
Well, I mean, I don't know, you know, I don't know where it falls and what the insurance company uses to determine if town's liable or if there was some problem with the sewer line from the town's line back. So,
y'all didn't lay claim to it. That's why they denied it.
I'm sorry?
Y'all didn't lay claim to it, so that's why they denied it.
We didn't lay claim to.
Y'all said this is not a town problem, and that's when they denied. Change report.
Well, I mean, from what we could gather, it was not the town 8-inch line that was clogged up. So that's what we told them.
6-inch line that was shoved off to the side, and nothing could pass through because of all the sand and the other muck they've been putting in there for years. So if anything that we flushed couldn't pass anywhere, you got to have a restriction before you have to clog. And that line slipped off to the side was a restriction. That's all they needed.
Well, there again, I get that and I understand that. It's just, you know, if it was our problem, then the insurance company should pay for it. And I put it in their court. I didn't, you know, I gave them all the information we had, and I just put it in their court just like I would in a car accident. So if you guys think we should handle it differently, I mean, if anybody has any opinions on what we can do or...
What are our options? What can we go with reimbursing?
Hold on. I mean, it's going to be a legal thing, I'm assuming.
Yeah, we can't, we have to depend on our insurance. They're not satisfied with the denial of the claim. They can sue us and RMI, and we take it from there.
Yeah, I that's...
But that's us coming to the town of Lily saying, hey, look at it again and see if there's anything else you can do. Because, of course, suing is the last thing we want to do.
Sure. Now, we don't want that either.
Well, the town has certain obligations with respect to its insurance companies. No, we can't. Claims of this nature, if our insurance denies it, our hands are tied unless...
But your insurance company also said they didn't want to see any new evidence we had.
Well, but
or anything else regarding what, you know, what we've come up with since then.
I tell you what, look,
and all these other things.
Let me do this. How about I schedule a meeting with me and Shane and you guys face-to-face with the insurance company? Would that... And we all sit around and talk?
RMI.
I mean, that's my only other option. I mean, I've called them and tried everything I could possibly do via phone. If we all get together and talk and you present your evidence, and I mean, I have no reason to say don't pay them. I really don't. There's no reason for me to say that. If it's our problem, I say pay for it and go with it. But that's what I can suggest, that we try to schedule a meeting and all of us meet.
Try that.
Yeah, I'll try to get it scheduled as soon as I can. I'm sorry?
Can't hurt.
Yeah, it won't hurt anything.
Worse it is now.
Well, it'll clear up some miscommunication between me and the insurance company, because he said he talked to me after he talked to y'all this last time, and he hadn't called me back. So it'll clear up that, and any other miscommunication that may be going on. We've admitted that there's been a sinkhole in that ditch. I don't know where he's coming up with that. Yeah. We've never done anything. We know that's been there.
Scott, one thing we need to do the way we handle our business, when they go out there and look at something, we document and we keep a log of these visits. And if they have an issue in their yard, they provide a witness statement. Hey, if they're just washing out every 6 months, we got to put something right here. And then you just keep that in a folder. Every time we make a call to somebody's house, and anytime the insurance company calls you, they investigate. If you don't have any evidence, they ain't paying any people. But if we got evidence, then people can get paid.
Yep. Well, I know the last...
Are we not doing that?
We believe if we have that, then...
We don't have anything from when Wayne and Curtis and them plugged it up. I'm pretty sure the last time Shane went, we had that. And then, of course, the main repair prior to that, I'm not sure if we have any documentation. I'd have to check with Shane. We have a file on your sewer issue. There's no doubt about that.
Anytime we got to add dirt or rock or something, that's not normal. So mm-hmm. We need to capture that.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Tommy, have you had damage?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they both had damage.
We just got the majority of it. I said, no, we just got the majority of it.
His line was lower on his stack than mine, so
it had inches
of water in his house. I had maybe an inch or so flowing through the back.
Both
not bad.
All right, well, I will. I have your email addresses, and I will call him in the morning first thing, and I will try to schedule a meeting with him and get us all, even if it's here. I'm going to try to do it here and have him come. I don't know if he'll do that or she. I dealt with two different people there, so. But I'll talk to them. You talked to the adjuster, right? The one that denied it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So let's do that. I'll give that a shot and see if we can get some movement on it. All right, anybody else? Announcements. Labor Day will be Monday, September the 7th. Town Hall will be closed. And our committee meeting will be on Tuesday, September the 8th. And with that, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Move.
Move by Mr. Andre, second by Mr. Richard. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Aye. Ayes have it.
Thank you.
Oh, very welcome.